Welcome to another edition of the Pucks with Hags podcast, powered by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network. I believe this is the 83rd episode of the Pucks with Hags podcast. I have the New England Hockey Journal's Evan Marinovsky here with me. Happy playoffs, Evan.
Yes, happy playoffs, Hags. I love this time of year. It's the best time on the sports calendar. It's, you know, and when the Bruins aren't in the playoffs, which has only been a few times in my lifetime,
that's crazy.
It drains the energy from the region. So it's nice that the Bruins are in it. And I will say this, Hags, we're doing this Saturday morning, and the Bruins just put out their like playoff hype video. They consistently hit on those. Like,
yes,
there are some teams that miss, they hit almost every year because they intertwine the history so well.
Yeah, the pomp and circumstance stuff, the ceremonial stuff, like the centennial stuff this year, like that kind of stuff, the pump up playoff videos, they always do it first class. Pretty much all the original six teams I find do it the right way and have a talent and a flair for doing that stuff. Montreal Canadiens, when you're up there for a ceremony of any kind at the Bell Center, same thing. They just crush it every time. The Bruins do that, so full props to them. This is the 83rd episode of the Pucks with Hags podcast. As I said, I'm your host, Joe Haggerty. You can find my stuff at joehaggerty.substack.com. Sign up for a premium membership to get all my NHL and Bruins writing sent straight directly to your inbox box. I also write for the Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. I have a preview of the series up shortly. Should be up this morning at some point, a tale of the tape. It's kind of what we're going to do with this podcast, too, is sort of take a look at the matchup and look at the two sides and give them some categories and who we give the edge to. So it should be fun, Evan. But let's also thank our sponsors real quick. Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. The easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Instead of battling thousands of other players that could be pros or sharks, you simply pick more or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll right in. I mean, who really wants to play in anything when there's pros and sharks? I'm going to avoid pros and sharks pretty much in any walk of life if I can. So if David Pastrnak, you can pick shots on net, Charlie McAvoy, block shots, more or less. It's fun and pretty simple. You can mix players from different sports. All that stuff is pretty cool. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100 and get going with the Prize Picks for the Stanley Cup playoffs. What better time to log on to Prize Picks to get going with Prize Picks than the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs when it's the wild, wild west in the first round with all these exciting series and games. And you can just jump on with a bunch of players and pick more or less in some of the stat categories. So pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, Evan, just right off the top, Maple Leafs, Bruins, your initial thoughts on the matchup between these two and what you thought as soon as you found out this was going to be the series in the first round for the Bruins.
Well, I was excited, and not so much because the Maple Leafs are a better matchup, but just it's more fun. I mean, Leafs-Bruins is a blast, and I like that was my first takeaway. Tampa is great, you know, like Bruins still have to slay the beast with the Lightning. I think in terms of history, in terms of, you know, two original six franchises, I take the Leafs in the first round. I do the post-game shows with Carl Corzini. It's fun when the Leafs fans jump in when the Leafs aren't even in it. So now they'll have a reason to join, which is great.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual matchup, I think there are more areas for the Bruins to exploit with the Leafs than there were with the Lightning. That was my first big takeaway. You look at the Leafs, and I just think the areas that the Bruins are weak in, I think the Leafs don't really have a counter to that. You know, like the Bruins 5-on-5 scoring right now is not outstanding. Scoring depth is not their strength. We've said this all year. Defense isn't their strength. Goaltending, certainly not their strength. So like I look at that and I say, there's the area. That's what the Bruins have to exploit. You can also go to penalty kill, power play, things like that. Whereas, the Leafs obviously have some heavy hitters up front. Matthews, Marner, Nylander missed practice on Friday. So yep. We'll see if he's in the lineup for game one. We don't know now. Tavares, Morgan Rielly on D. But you're good on D. I mean, not as great as past years. You don't have Bergeron, but you still, team defense is a strength. Goaltending is a strength. I imagine we'll get into that. Like, that cancels that out. So to me, it's that Bruins offense against Maple Leafs defense that I'm like, that's what the Bruins need to exploit. And I know people are going to say, well, they don't have the offense for it. I think they can in this series.
Well, I don't think there's any question about any question. No, I think when you look at this series,
you just need to look at the Toronto Maple Leafs averaged, what was it, 3.2 goals a game they allowed or something like that. It was well above 3 goals a game they were allowing to other teams. They were in the bottom third of the league in defense, goaltending defense, whatever you want to call it, that attributes to the goals against that you're allowing per game. But that is going to allow the Bruins are going to score more because they're playing the Leafs. Like that is just what's going to happen. They are going to have more goals and it's going to be more spread around. And you're probably going to see more players get involved offensively because the Leafs are a poor defensive team. They are among the weak sisters, the bottom third of the league when it comes to both defense and goaltending. The personnel, when you look at them, they're not impressive. Their goaltenders are not impressive and haven't been impressive all year. Although I guess Samsonov is playing a little bit better right now. But still, that's marginally better. I think that's an area where I think the Bruins are going to be able to do some damage. Like the Toronto penalty kill is terrible too. And we've seen the Bruins power play really struggle as well down the stretch. Now they have Kevin Shattenkirk manning the point, which I've been a big fan of and a proponent of, is putting Shattenkirk or somebody that's a little more offensively viable at the point on that top power play unit and putting McAvoy maybe on the second unit because of his reticence to shoot. You need somebody that can shoot for rebounds, shoot wide, intentionally wide off the end boards, like all that stuff to create action around the net and in front of the net. And I think Shattenkirk does that really well. So we'll see if that adjustment helps them. And I part of the reason they did that, part of it, I'm sure, was because the Bruins power play was struggling. But I think part of it was, too, they look at the penalty kill on the Maple Leafs as somewhere where they can do some damage. They can exploit. They can take advantage of it when they get on the power play. That's an area where they can really go at them and make some hay. So maybe that's part of the reason why they did what they did is they say, hey, we really need to make sure our power play is on point and the best it can possibly be against this team in this particular matchup. But I think in general, the Bruins offense is going to be able to do what they want against Toronto. And especially a guy like David Pastrnak, who has torched the Leafs when he's played them in the playoffs, has torched the Leafs when he's played them pretty much all the time. So he's a guy that has had a field day with them. I'm sure his eyes lit up when he saw this matchup. So I don't worry so much about their offense. I think their offense is going to get well against Toronto. I think it comes down to making sure the Leafs stars don't go off and don't all of a sudden gain some confidence or all of a sudden think they've figured out the playoffs and, you know, let them sort of get some momentum going. I think you want to keep them hopeless, keep them struggling, make it really hard for them to not let any of them start to get even a shred of confidence in the postseason. Cause right now Toronto is feeling all of the pressure, right? They have everything on their shoulders. Like there is a lot riding on this playoff series and them winning and starting to prove that they're not losers in the postseason and starting to like show that they have potential and starting to answer all those questions that have been going around for a long time now with that team and that group and how they're made up, that core, the core four, as they like to call it in Toronto. So I think that is like a really interesting backdrop to this whole series is the Bruins aren't playing with a lot of pressure. There are zero expectations on that team. Like, obviously, maybe a little bit raised as tiny expectations now because they had a good regular season. But nobody's expecting them to go out and win the cup. Like, you know, there's a lot more expectations and a lot more pressure on the Maple Leafs going into this. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out on this series. Jobs on the line. You know, maybe they start to dismantle that Toronto group if they flame out and go, you know, one and out in the playoffs again this year. So I'm going to be interested to watch all that as it goes on. But it's not always you see teams in playoff matchups where the stark differences are so black and white, so clear. And the areas that you can attack on both teams are so obvious, but I think it's pretty clear in this matchup. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. And you know, as Brad Marchand said the other day, the Maple Leafs are basically the Bruins' rivals now. It's not the Montreal Canadiens anymore because they've been irrelevant.
We talked about this. The Canadiens-Bruins rivalry is dead at the moment.
Yeah.
You don't think it's
the Maple Leafs-Bruins. That is the matchup now based on them meeting in the playoffs a bunch, although it's not a true rivalry until both sides win. So like it's been more like big brother curb stomping little brother every time they play each other, right?
I agree the Leafs have more pressure, but you don't think I expect the Bruins to win a round, and I would be I think
it would be a nice progression for this team to win a round, no doubt.
You ready to get in on all the playoff action that's coming up? Basketball playoffs a few weeks away, hockey playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, the best time of year, a few weeks away. Well, why don't you go and get the Prize Picks app? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America and the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Instead of battling thousands of other players that could be pros or sharks, you simply pick more or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll right in. You can get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's upcoming playoffs, during the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. As I mentioned, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and anything else today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. How cool is that? You're going to want to get involved right now. David Pastrnak, you can do goals, you can do shots, maybe you can do turnovers, because sometimes he has a lot of those in the game as well. You just pick more or less than. It's fun and pretty simple. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Yeah, I think I talked about this with Connor like last week or maybe the week before. The pressure's on Montgomery. Like, there's a guy who has had some great regular season. Yeah, great regular season success. Not a lot of playoff success.
Yep.
It's been well documented. Obviously, last year got outcoached by Paul Maurice and the Panthers in those last four games. But to me, like, I said this to you all year. Like, I don't expect them to win the cup. I'm with you. I don't have them. I have to figure out my cup matchup. I don't have one. If the Bruins aren't in it, I don't really like. It's like, well, who needs my cup matchup? Hurricanes, Stars. I mean, come on. I still like the regular. I agree with you. It was a kind of a transition year. They overperformed, but they still perform well. Like, I still think you have to win a round in their position. So I think there is some pressure on them, but I agree. It's more on the Leafs, just given their history and given their past.
Yeah. I mean, clearly I think you want Jim Montgomery to perform better as the head coach of the Boston Bruins in the playoffs, coming off last year where I think they made some poor choices. They made some choices that negatively impacted the series. And just the general vibe at times in that series was odd to me. It felt like the moment got too big for Jim Montgomery as the head coach. And he felt like a guy that hadn't coached a lot of playoff series last year. To the point we're talking about, like, the pressure that's going to be on Toronto this year was definitely on the Bruins last year. There was a lot of pressure on that team to do it in the playoffs based on the trades they made, based on Bergeron retiring at the end of the year and Krejci too, based on the season that they had. Like, all of that stuff was weighing down on them as tons of pressure. Even if there's pressure on Montgomery to perform better as the coach, but I still think even if they went one and out in this postseason, I think there's some question if he would – even if his job would even be in jeopardy, you know, if they would already talk about like him potentially being fired, if they like say they had lost in 7 games to Toronto. I don't think it's an automatic that Jim Montgomery gets fired because they lose in 7 games to Toronto.
No, I agree.
If the Bruins, if the Leafs go out in the first round again, I think it's an automatic that Sheldon Keefe is gonzo, right?
Yes.
And that they're going to start talking about other, you know, altering the core four or altering the core group that they have and starting to make changes there. I think those questions are coming for Toronto. So inherent in those reliant or dependent on the outcome of the series, there's going to be more pressure on the Leafs because there's jobs on the line. The coach is definitely on the hot seat there if they disappoint again. Like, there's a lot going on with that team that I think is at a higher level than the Bruins right now. I think
that's... that team has made the playoffs every year since 2017, right? When they lost to the Caps, and everyone was like, "Oh, they put up a fight against the Caps. They're ready to make a run," and they've made it out of the first round once in those last 2017 is now. I graduated high school in 2017, so that's now, is that 8 years, 7 years? Oh, Hags, I feel old. God, but it's been that long since the Leafs have been going at it. Yeah, I know. You're ready to kill me, I agree. I completely agree with you on that. I think there's a lot of questions for the Leafs, and I mean, not just get out of the first round. They got out of the first round last year, but get out of, you know, beat the Bruins. Like, I think that's the big thing. And what worries me for the Bruins, and I know history doesn't matter and all that, but like, at some point they have to do it. Like, at some point you would think they have to beat the Bruins in the playoffs.
And like, how many times do we see it too, obviously, where a team has another team's number in the regular season, dominates all the times that they see each other, and then it flips, the script flips in the playoffs. Like, we've seen that happen before. Like, the Bruins won all four matchups with the Leafs this year, outscored them 14-7, really dominated. A couple of 4-1 wins down the stretch this year within about a week of each other, home and away, that were really strong statement wins, I thought, by the Bruins over the Leafs. So, like, I know what you're saying, and there's definitely a sense of, is this team going to figure it out? Are they finally going to be able to beat the Bruins? And I went on Toronto Radio, TSN, a couple days ago on Carlo Cagliacomo's show, and they were talking about exercising demons, like, with the Bruins and all that stuff, like, up in Toronto. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, like, to explain it to Bruins fans that haven't been to Toronto or don't, like, look too much into the Leafs and are kind of casual fans, the Toronto Maple Leafs right now are basically the pre-2004 Boston Red Sox. Like, they've got all kinds of conspiracy theories. They think they're going to blow it every year. The expectation is they're going to lose. It's always the, you know, same old sorry story with the Leafs. Like, you're waiting for the bad thing to happen and the other shoe to drop. It's exactly how everybody viewed the Red Sox in Boston prior to Theo Epstein in 2004 and them winning and setting things off in a different track. And you feel that way now because the ownership for the Red Sox doesn't spend any money on the team, and, you know, they'd rather get their portfolio bursting with sports franchises than actually invest in the players and product on the field, even though they're charging top dollar at Fenway for the Red Sox fans. Thank you very much, Fenway Sports Group.
Yeah, but, I love spending like an arm and a leg for like a beer and a hot dog there. I love that's
and the disgusting
thing.
Sugar-free ketchup that they have too, which makes me.
Well, they did. Credit to them, they did bring back the Heinz ketchup. They brought it back. I saw it on Marathon Monday. Thank God, because it was gross. They was
had to
friggin'
smuggle ketchup packets into Fenway Park.
Enjoy
your hot dog and French fries. Like, it was absurd what was going on at Fenway.
And it was such a bad ketchup too. Like, it wasn't
horrible ketchup.
It wasn't even like doable. It's like, oh, I'll suck it up. It makes the fries better. It was terrible.
We're gonna give you the most disgusting ketchup in the history of condiments at Fenway Park, and you're not gonna have any alternatives. You're stuck with this, and that's all. And I'm sure it was a contractual thing, like, because I got into it with somebody once, and I'm sure it was a contractual thing with the gross ketchup company that they didn't want any other ketchup products in the building or something stupid like that. But, like, shame on them for allowing that to happen.
Get into it with the ketchup? Like a vendor?
I put something on Twitter, and I think the ketchup got into it with me. The actual guy that, like, owns the company, the disgusting ketchup company, went after me.
That's hilarious.
Was saying, you know, if I gave you a blind, this is what he did. He was like, if I give you a blind taste test, you wouldn't know our ketchup. You wouldn't know the difference between our ketchup and, like, Heinz. I was like, bull crap,
no
dude. I would know your disgusting ketchup anywhere with no sugar in it. It tastes so gross.
And you've been eating Heinz ketchup your whole life. We all know exactly what it tastes like compared to that garbage. So
the bottom point I made to the guy was, buddy, if I'm going to the ballpark, I don't need the healthy options for the hot dog and the French fries. If I'm going to the ballpark and having a hot dog and fries, I don't need it to be healthy. I want it to be I'm not looking to get my health kick at the ballpark. Thanks, pal.
I'm not either. I completely agree with you. I thought you were saying you got into it with like the hot, like the people like vending the hot dogs. What is this?
I would never go after the common guy. I would just put it on Twitter and say this ketchup sucks, and then have the owner of the company find me and track me down and start like challenging me to taste tests. And I was like,
shooting the sugar-free ketchup at your house, you know,
you can set up whatever taste test you want. I'm going to point your gross ketchup 10 out of 10 times. All right. So let's get into the matchup for this team. First, your thoughts on the forwards and who has the edge there. And I think Obviously, Evan, this would seem like a layup. You would say Toronto because of the dazzling talent that they have with Mitch Marner and William Nylander and Austin Matthews, you know, the 69, the Rob Gronkowski amount of goals that he scored this year. And you still get Tavares, and, you know, they've got, they added some good pieces to the team this year, that some gritty pieces at the trade deadline. They have Ryan Reeves, the Cali Yarncroc, I think, is an underrated player. I can't remember who it was, but oh no, Bertuzzi, they have, who is also nice. And there was one other guy they added at the trade deadline that I thought was
it Domi?
Yeah, Max Domi added grit and toughness and plays a hard nosed game there. So they have some guys that are going to play playoff style hockey. And I like their forward group, but I also don't want to sell the Bruins short. And I don't think this is as one sided as people might make it, just based on the huge numbers that the Toronto players put up in the run and gun system they run during the regular season. David Pastrnak owns the Leafs whenever he plays them and puts up huge numbers. You know, Brad Marchand had a good season. There were a bunch of Bruins forwards that had the best years of their career, whether it was, you know, Trent Frederick, Morgan Geekie, Charlie Coyle. Pavel Zacha arguably had the best season of his career. This and last year were both fantastic years. You go across the board, and there's a lot of Bruins players that I think are ready for the postseason and ready to elevate their game based on what they did during the regular season. So I give the edge to Toronto, obviously, just because of the higher-end guys that they have. But I do it knowing two things. The Bruins are better than people are going to give them credit for, and just because those Maple Leafs forwards have put up huge numbers during the regular season – most of them do jack squat in the playoffs and have done that consistently over the years. So I'm not going to give them credit for things they're not doing in the playoffs.
I give the edge to Toronto, but I agree with you. I don't think it's as stark as people think. I think the Leafs have been spreading their talent out through those top three lines. But I also look at, like, you know, you think about that third line, the Pontus Holmberg line. That's been an area that other teams have exploited. You know, in Boston, I know this is obvious, but when that line goes on the ice, you throw Zacha's line on the ice, and you can kind of do some damage with it. And Yarncroc, I think right now, I don't think Yarncroc practiced yesterday, so I don't know if that third, if he, I don't think he's gonna be good to go for the third line, unless he is. I don't know the official.
And that's a loss if he isn't able to go.
That's a big loss, and so. Yep. To me, you know, I think there are opportunities for the Bruins to have success against those forward lines. I know that they use that Tavares line with Marner and Matthew Nyes as sort of a shutdown line at times. I think Zacha, Pastrnak, Heinen can overcome that in Toronto when the time comes. Obviously, yeah, Matthews, Marner, you know, Tavares, Bertuzzi was a pretty good playoff scorer last year. Like, there's all those things. But then, as you said, like, Zacha's been good this year. Coyle's been good this year. And I'm curious, like, if Montgomery uses the Coyle line in a shutdown role. Because, you know, I don't know if you're using Beecher, Boquist, and Maroon as your shutdown pair. I mean, I know you'll have Beecher take draws, you know, in the D zone. And I don't know if you're using Lauko, Geekie, and Frederick as your shutdown line. So Marchand, Coyle, DeBrusk might be it. And I think they're also going to be challenged with scoring some goals at the other end of the ice, especially in Toronto. So I don't think it's as stark as people think it is. I don't think, you know, obviously, as I said, Toronto has the high end talent. But the Bruins have some sneaky depth. I think Morgan Geekie can play in the playoffs. And the other thing is the Bruins score goals better for the playoffs than they did last year. Last year, it was a lot of run and gun. It was, you know, shots from the perimeter would go, you know, they just had guys that were nasty. A lot of they're getting a good amount of chances from high danger areas, good amounts of goals from there. And you've got like Pat Maroon on the fourth line. I know Maroon's not going to be, you know, leading the team in scoring, unless he is. I don't know. He's on the first power play unit.
No, but like, Maroon is better offensively than people give him credit for.
I completely agree.
You notice him in the offensive zone for sure.
Yes.
You know, I think that's
it is.
And then kind of, honestly, that's sometimes what that fourth line needed was more of a veteran sort of savvy offensive player with some size on that, you know, fourth line to go with the other players that they had. So I think he could be like sneaky good on the ice, even though people were chalking it up to him just being sort of a Stanley Cup good luck charm and a guy that was going to add to the leadership group.
And people, I think, and Montgomery mentioned this on Friday, you know, people think, oh, he's going to fight Reeves. And it's like, Does that ever happen in a playoff series? That doesn't happen, really. Like, you know,
rarely.
He's there to add some physical grit, and as you said, he's pretty good offensively. And like Montgomery said it yesterday, he's a hockey player. Like, that dude is a hockey player in the true sense of the word. So, I like the speed that Boqvist and Beecher bring. Yep. My big question is if and when Van Riemsdyk enters this lineup, because he is a veteran guy. I know he's been, you know, kind of very iffy for the last month and a half, 2 months. Does he move, you know, if that third line of Lauko, Geeky, and Frederick does not perform up to where they need to be after two games, does Van Riemsdyk go in for Lauko? Like, I think that's kind of the one question mark I have, where, like, I could see that happening. You know, Van Riemsdyk being a good net front guy and a veteran presence, maybe that's what you want.
Yep.
So I think that that's another option as well.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how that, I mean, and I'm sure it's going to change from game to game, or that, you know, that it will depend on how the series develops and, you know, who's playing well, who's not, and where they need, you know, help. But what I saw out of Van Riemsdyk down the stretch was a guy that, like, wasn't able to keep pace with what was going on around him.
He was
having a hard time sort of keeping up. So I think, you know, especially against the fast paced Toronto team, that might not be the greatest matchup in the world, to put him in. And at a certain point, you know, if Brazeau becomes an option, I think they would go with Brazeau instead of JVL.
Forgot about Brazeau. I agree. Yeah. Yes. I completely agree.
Towards the end of the first round, if he becomes somebody that might be able to, you know, inject into the series. So all that stuff will be worth watching. I think Anthony Richard, will he become an option at some point too? Will they, you know, put a guy like that as somebody that could bring speed and a little tenacity into the fourth line if they're not getting enough from those guys as the series is going along? With no salary cap now, they can bring up whoever the hell they want. And that'll be interesting to watch. All right, defense. I you know, this is definitely slanted towards the Bruins in a major way. Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm, even though Hampus Lindholm is a bit of a question mark in the playoffs, given how he's performed the last 2 years with the Bruins since coming here, 0 points, and I think it's like 11 games.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a little bit of a plus player, but it's very clear he hasn't been as effective in the playoffs as he's been during the regular season when he's at his best. And he really had a hard time with the forecheck at Florida last year. He was one of the guys that had a difficult time getting the puck through. But still, the Leafs don't have defensemen the caliber of Hampus Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy as far as, like, two-way, 25-minute, front line, play in every situation, like, big, strong, like, defenseman-type defenseman. Like, I like Morgan Riley. He's a good player. He's a good puck mover. But I don't think he's in the class of either one of those two guys. And no. I think once you get past Morgan Riley, it drops off the table as far as the quality of the defenseman on that team. You know, Joel Edmondson was a good pickup and a guy they needed to get at the trade deadline. Mark Giordano is 40 years old. Who knows how much he's going to play in this series. I like Jake McCabe. He's kind of rugged. You know, he will definitely play with a little hard-nosed edge to him. But, like, when you just look at the personnel side by side, Toronto and the Bruins on the back end, like, the Bruins are so much better than Toronto, and it's not even close, especially when you view it through the prism of, like, a playoff series and what you need to be successful in the playoffs when it comes to the back end.
100%. I think to echo that, like, I think what it's going to be for the Bruins is, can you shut down Matthews? And then can you also shut down separately, you know, Marner or yep. Nylander if he ends up playing in the series? Like,
That may be why they split up McAvoy and Lindholm rather than you putting them as like a monster top pairing. If you like those guys are on separate lines for sure.
That's the one thing. And Lindholm and McAvoy, I've liked the underlying numbers are good. Like your favorite advanced stats are great. The Corsi four, they're good. They passed the eye test too.
They're excellent together. There's no question. It's a Zdeno Chara, Dennis Seidenberg esque pairing from 2011.
Minus the 6'9" defenseman. But yes, I agree. You know, and I think that's going to be an area where I wouldn't be shocked if they go back to Lindholm, Carlo, Grizzly McAvoy, just because Toronto has their talent spread out. So again, I mean, Carlo was very successful against Matthews in the regular season. Maybe you go for that matchup, which then maybe frees up, would free up McAvoy and a Grizzly to be a little bit more, you know, offensive and, you know, a little bit more run and gun, like they've been successful with in the past couple of years. You know, and I also look at, like, you know, Shattenkirk and Peak. I think Peak has, you know, we've seen glimpses of it in his small time with the Bruins of being a guy who can shut down other teams' players. Doesn't mean he's going to, you know, face Matthews, but, you know, if he's tasked against Nylander, he can handle it. Like, or he should be able to handle it. The question is, you know, can Shattenkirk? And I think that's going to be the one area where, like, I'm curious to see where this series heads in the first two games, where, like, if there's a ton of penalties and power plays and Shattenkirk is setting up play after play, then you do have to keep him in the lineup. But if there aren't a lot and these are low scoring defensive battles, I wonder if they turn to a guy like Wotherspoon or something like that. But because I like Shattenkirk on the power play too.
Yes. I think he's going to stay in the lineup based, as long as the power play is doing okay, he's going to stay in the lineup based on his excellence there and what he can bring to the table offensively on the man advantage. I think he's worth it just for that alone. As long as it works like it seemed to work when we saw it towards the end of the year. And, you know, there are other questions, obviously. Andrew Peak, this will be the first time he's ever been in the playoffs. I think that'll be something to watch. Matt Grizzlick, will he be able to stay healthy? Will he get taken advantage of in the defensive zone and exploited? That's always something to watch. Like, there's little things here and there with the Bruins back end. And it's going to be different based on how they deploy the talent among the Toronto forwards, as you mentioned. But I think when you just stack the two of them side by side, it's not even close. This is one of the big advantages that the Bruins are going to have over the Toronto Maple Leafs in this series, is just a much better defenseman core, much more experienced, much more, I think, able to sort of handle the moment. Like, McAvoy will be the best defenseman in the series. And I think that sometimes can be a big difference maker as far as playoff matchups, is who has the best defenseman, who has the best number one D-man. Like, that's a big advantage for you if you have that. That's a big ace in the hole. Another lopsided category, frankly, goaltending. But obviously on paper, the Bruins are better. Their goaltenders are better. Samsonov struggled this year, you know, had to get sent down to the minors, like, came along and played a little better towards the end. You know, Joseph Woll is, like, had a good start, but I think he had an ankle sprain at some point during the year and had struggled since then. You know, when you look at the save percentages between the two and the four times they played, Toronto's like 891 save percentage and the Bruins were like 945 or 949. Yeah. Like, it was pretty stark. And Jeremy Swayman started three of those four games and was lights out, like 1.20 goals against, 951 save percentage. And that's, you know, partially why I would start Swayman in game one, is how well he's played against the Leafs. He was an all-star this year. You've started Ullmark the last couple of years to start the series. I think a lot of the signs point towards Swayman being the game one starter. We'll see if they do that or not. Obviously, Ullmark played well down the stretch. But the big thing for me here, and this is similar to the Toronto forwards, I give the big edge to the Bruins goaltenders here, but it's based on them performing in the postseason like they have done in the regular season, which they have not done at any point in their time with the Boston Bruins. So there is definitely, of the players that have pressure on their shoulders on the Bruins, nobody has more pressure on their shoulders than Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman to live up to what they did during the regular season and play that way in the playoffs. And that's going to be something really interesting to watch play out in this playoff series.
That, and I think that's another reason why Montgomery and his coaching staff have so much pressure, is how do you handle the goal? Like, I know we've talked about this.
Oh, the whole league's going to be watching how they handle this.
Like, how do you do this? Cause I think it's, you know, I don't want to say it's boom or bust, but you have one end of it where, like, it works so well. It's like teams are now like, oh my God, they nailed it. We need to get two really good goalies, which again is easier said than done. Or you have the other side of it where it's like, man, these guys for three straight years could not figure this out in the playoffs. And I said this on Bruins Beat the other day, and I was like, are we overthinking this in the sense of they've done the rotation all year, every other game, it's worked. Why not just roll with it? And I agree with you. It's not what teams do in the playoffs. I get it. And it makes no sense. And I agree. If Linus Ullmark or Jeremy Swayman gets a shutout in game one, I agree.
You're not going to go away from them if they play well in game one. You're just not going to do it. Like, no,
this is true
to do that.
This is true, but it's what they've done all year. And last year it's what they did all year. And then they just strayed away from it. And I wonder, you know, obviously I think last year is bolted in their heads with that kind of thing. And I wonder if they're just like, we're going to roll every other game and we're going to go down with the ship. And I would be okay with them doing that. I would, because it's what's worked. They didn't do it last year. I've said it to you since October. I want to see the goalie tandem. And again, the goalie, it's still a goalie tandem. If Swayman plays game one, great. Game two, he's okay. They go to Ullmark in game three. You know, that's still the goalie tandem. But I don't think I would be complaining if they went every other game, unless, of course, Linus Ullmark gets a 35 save shutout in game one. Swayman comes in and is awful in game two. Ullmark is great in game three. Swayman is terrible in game four. Like, then it's a problem. That's okay. That was dumb. But I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, I am too. And you're right. The whole league is going to be watching. Will this become a new in vogue thing? Like, there's an old saying in hockey. If you have two number one goalies, it means you really don't have a number one goalie. You don't have an actual number one goalie if you're trying to sell that you have two of them. So, like, all of that stuff is going to be interesting. I would go, you play the goalie until he loses. So you play your number one guy, and you might give him a run of a few games until he loses, and then you put the other guy in. And as long as you don't, you know, and the good news would be if the one goalie doesn't get in, it's because you swept the series. And, you know, that's a good problem to deal with if that guy's getting rusty now because you were so good in the first round that you just rolled over a team and there wasn't an opportunity to get that other goalie in. So I think that's a fair way to do it. We'll see how they handle it. Special teams. I think the Bruins power play has a chance to get well and get healthy and be productive against this really poor Toronto penalty kill. The Bruins penalty kill is very good going against a dynamic Maple Leafs power play. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be some really interesting matchups of strengths versus weaknesses here to see who actually wins out on this battle.
My favorite stat is, like, since March 1st, the Bruins have had a better power play than the Leafs. Yeah. That's hysterical. I agree with you. I think this is a chance for them to figure it out. I mean, now you have Marchand on the second unit with McAvoy. The top unit now is Pastrnak and Zacha, and I think Heinen's on it, and Maroon in front with Shattenkirk at the top. So, you know, you're spreading your talent out. I know Montgomery mentioned on Friday.
And you're basically having your line mates play together on the power play too, which I think makes sense a little bit. You know, you put your lines together and have the guys that are playing well and have good chemistry, put them together on the special teams units. That makes sense on some level.
It does. And I think it also makes sense. You know, they want to go and on a 2-minute power play. They want one unit on for like a minute and then the other unit right on for the second minute, which I think makes sense. You know, and I think it kind of gives each unit a little more urgency to shoot. You're not going to be on the ice as long. You can kind of go a little harder. You know, and I said this with you and I have both said this with McAvoy all year is, you know, there are just times that he's, you know, just, you know, he's passing the puck. You know, he's just looking for the next person. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And so I think, you know, Shattenkirk is kind of a career power play guy. He's always been that at the point.
Yep.
So I think
he creates offense with his shots. Like, he finds shooting lanes to the net and he creates action around the net with his shots, whether it's rebounds, whether it's tips, whether it's, you know, intentionally wide, like I said, off the end boards to create like a bounce that somebody's going to be able to use. He's crafty with the way he shoots, where he gets it through and makes things happen. And those guys, that you need somebody like that running the point on the power play that can get those shots through and do that. And, you know, while McAvoy's got a howitzer of a shot, I don't think he's as crafty with the way he uses the point shot. And he certainly does not use it as often as Kevin Shattenkirk.
And I think when you're running the umbrella, you got two guys in front. Like, you can get rebounds, and you have the two flank guys to bounce in too. So, I think it is an easy chance for the Bruins to try to get their power play going. Penalty kill wise, I mean, the Leafs have struggled on their power play. Bruins penalty kill has been pretty solid and has the horses to do it. I think, you know, as you mentioned, McAvoy has a chance to be the best defenseman in the series. Definitely is on paper, but if he can, you know, contribute on the power play at one end and then be good on the penalty kill at the other. But that's also where, you know, guys like Carlo, Andrew Peak are going to be huge and kind of killing off those power plays. And I'm curious to see what the Bruins do to counter the Leafs power play. You know, who are you taking away? What options are you taking away? I mean, I would think you're going to put someone on Matthews, like, just he can shoot.
Probably
going to
see a lot of Brandon Carlo blocking Austin Matthews shots. That's in the past. So I think you will probably see a steady diet of that. Which, you're right, it'll be fascinating to watch all of that, the individual matchups and how they go about getting the success that they're going to have. Intangibles and coaching, Evan. I think, You know, we talked a little bit about the pressure that's on each coach. There's definitely pressure on both coaches. Pressure on Sheldon Keefe to just get results at this point. His job probably depends on it. Pressure on Jim Montgomery to show that, you know, he learned the lessons he needed to from last year's playoffs. And, you know, he's done such a remarkable job this year, and a better job, I think, coaching this year, because he's had to coach a lot more than he did last year, whether it's, you know, chastising them at times and challenging them to wake the F up in practice, bag skating them a couple of times, sort of, you know, trying to be the energetic leader on that team a little bit more at times. You know, a different coach for different times in the season. He had to do that a little bit more this year. Some of the textbook classic, like hockey head coaching things that you see the head coaches pull out, like he did this year a lot more, I think. So, like, I think he's ready for the challenge, but I think there's an incalculable amount of pressure that's on the Toronto Maple Leafs that's going to be really hard to quantify. Intangibles, the Bruins, the one intangible that I think is really present and important is that the Bruins have a huge psychological advantage over the Maple Leafs at this point. Like, the Maple Leafs are going to wait for something bad to happen. The Maple Leafs are going to expect something bad to happen. They're going to expect the series to not go their way. You know, they're expecting, like, they're just in that mindset playing this team now because it's happened to them before. It's human nature that that's going to happen when you go up against a team that's had your number. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out and how that manifests during the series. I also like the intangible of Pat Maroon being in the Bruins room. I think they needed a voice like that. They needed a big brother player like that on the roster that's going to give, like, some guys a little more courage in the postseason and what they're doing on the ice. And I think that will be a big factor as well, just him being there. So I give the edge. I gave the edge special teams wise to the Leafs, and I give the intangibles coaching to the Bruins.
I would say the biggest, like, I don't know if it's an intangible, but I always, in sports, you see when a team has an embarrassing end to a season the year before, the year after, they typically find a way. I mean, again, I know I'm crossing sports here, but like Purdue basketball, you know, yep, was out in the last 16 seed last year, goes all the way to the championship this year. The Lightning in, you know, 2019 and then 2020. To me, like, I the Bruins fit that mold of they were the best team in NHL history in the regular season, yep, lost, you know, got upset in the first round by the second wild card team. And to me, like, I think that is a big factor. The fact that the Bruins have that motivation of, we have to prove it. This is not, yep, Patrice Bergeron's Bruins anymore. We're coming off one of the most embarrassing losses in the franchise's history to a franchise that had a lot of embarrassing losses. And, you know, to me, that's the biggest advantage the Bruins hold is what happened last year. It's not so much what happened, you know, the Bruins beating the Leafs every year they play them, which is great. And Montgomery mentioned on Friday, they haven't even really talked about it, whether or not that's true. You know, we don't know, but I would assume that would come up in a meeting at some point.
Well, I was going to say, just don't ask Linus Ullmark or Brad Marchand what they learned from last year, or like what if that's in their mind going into this year. Cause they'll be like, absolutely not. I don't think about the past last year. Like, we're this is a new year, different players, different team, different series. Like, they're very adamant in that. And maybe they discussed that, and that was going to be their stance when they were asked questions about this. But most of the guys that you ask will be adamant about saying that, like, they're not thinking about last year at all. And the series against the Panthers is not like a flicker in their eye. And maybe that'll change if they end up playing Florida in the second round, if they advance past Toronto. I could see that being a little more natural to think about that. But they try to poo-poo that whenever you ask them about it, or whenever they get questions like that thrown their way. Linus Ullmark will just be like, oh, I'm excited. Playoffs is the best time of year. I just can't wait to go. I'm happy about it. Like, I can't wait. Like, that's what we play for all year. That's kind of been their stance. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I like that you mentioned that as an intangible, because it's true. It can be the best motivator, some like negative experience or some negative outcome that happened that you're trying to bounce back from. I mean, we all remember the Bruins won the cup based partially on them getting, you know, dropping four straight games and blowing a 3-0 series lead to the Philadelphia Flyers the season before in a playoff series. So that can be a huge motivator. And you know, for some of those players, I'm sure that was as painful a loss last year, losing with that team, with Patrice Bergeron retiring, like all the factors that were at play. That was a painful postseason loss last year, no question about it. So I'm sure there's some of that in the psychologically with that team. So who do you give the edge to as far as intangibles and coaching go, Evan?
I'll give it to the Bruins. I think what I just mentioned is the biggest. To me, that's the primary thing. What happened to the Bruins last year? You can say the Leafs have lost in the first round every year except for last year. It doesn't even come close to me. And again, maybe it's because we're Bruins people, but what happened last year, the missed opportunity, not even going near the Stanley Cup. Yep. To me, I think that's the biggest thing. I think, as I said, teams typically find a way to bounce back. Does that mean they're going to win the cup? No, but it means at least they're going to go on some kind of a run, whether that's to the second round, conference final, or you get to the cup. But I've said it 1,000 times. I don't think it's going to happen, but they're at least going to get passed around. So are we going to do predictions?
Yes, I was going to say, what's your prediction, Evan?
I got Bruins in 6. I know everyone's got 7. I know every series has gone 7. We're coming off BCBU not happening in the national championship, which I was adamant. I was like, there's no way the universe is going to let us have it. There's no way the universe is going to let us have 7 games of Bruins Leafs. But I also think not just the universe, but I think the matchups. I just think there are too many little areas for the Bruins to exploit. I don't believe in Samsonov. I got 6 games.
Evan, they were supremely confident they could beat the Leafs to the point where they absolutely sleptwalked through 5 of the last 6 periods of hockey they played this year. I think in part to orchestrate that matchup happening if it could. They made it look good with the 23 shots on net in the third period of that last game before David Pastrnak, for some unknown reason, just threw a puck in the middle of the ice with the goalie pulled.
That's right.
and basically ended the game. So, I saw plenty of evidence that they were not fully invested in winning those last 2 games because I think they wanted to play Toronto if it was a possibility, and that meant more to them than winning the division, because I think they feel that strongly that they can beat Toronto and that they have the advantage in a lot of categories and that that's the team that you want to face in the playoffs. So all those reasons and more, I am also going Bruins in 6 because everybody's doing Bruins in 7. And we got to be contrarians here, Evan. It's the gods, I think, are not going to give us another game 7 Leafs Bruins. They're going to allow this one to end early in 6. Just like the hockey gods were not going to give Cutter Gauthier a national title after he said the other team's going to be crying at the end of the game hours before.
That was great.
Dude, what is wrong with that guy? Seriously, there is something wrong with him. Like, saying something like that, what he did with the Flyers, there's like some definite warning signs with that player. Like, I don't know if his makeup is the greatest in the world. It's going to be interesting to see what he's like as a pro. But that's another story for another day. Evan, thank you very much for joining us for this Leafs Bruins playoff preview. Let's also thank Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, baseball, the Stanley Cup playoffs now. Entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends, which I don't even know what the hell that is, but have at it, League of Legends, and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, Jude Bellingham, all in the same entry. So all you got to do, it's fun and simple. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Thank you very much for joining us, Evan.
Of course, Hags. Let the playoffs begin.
Let the playoffs begin. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We'll see you at the rink.